To me, both are pretty clear about what we're supposed to get from them. But the first text, I consider it to be one of the scariest texts in the Bible, and there's some scary stuff in there. At first read, the text tells the story of Abraham, who upon hearing God speak to him, takes his beloved son Isaac up into the mountains to offer him as a sacrifice. His hand is stayed at the last minute by an angel, and he is able to offer a ram as a burnt sacrifice instead, releasing Isaac, who, as we know, would become the father of Esau and Jacob, the grandfather of Joseph, of the Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. But in blunt terms, upon hearing a mysterious voice command him to kill his son, Abraham says, "Okay." But that's a really shallow understanding of the text. In a much broader sense, there are some other things happening here. Abraham says in the text, not once, not twice, but three times, "Here I am." It seems so basic, but to me, in those three words, Abraham says so much. "Here I am" implies a willingness, a kind of get-up-and-go attitude. It's a response, once to God, once to his son, and once to an angel. Why this is important, and I can't emphasize this enough, Abraham responds to God and to a messenger of God the same way that he responds to his son. What does that mean? To me, it's an indication that he communicates regularly with God. God doesn't need thunder and lightning. He doesn't need a big booming voice from the heavens to get Abraham's attention. He just says, "Abraham." But Abraham's first response of "Here I am" isn't like a, "Oh, what's up?" It's more like the hymn, "Here I am, Lord." It's Abraham indicating that he's listening. It's a simple faith, but a faith fostered through prayer, meditation, and fellowship. The second response of "Here I am" is to Isaac, like, "Here I am, your loving father." But it's the last response that's really interesting to me. Just kind of imagine it with me. You are holding the life of your child, your grandchild, your sibling, your partner, your spouse, in your hand. You're trying to complete a mission that you believe with every fiber of your being is God's command. Your heart's pounding, and you can't hear anything else but the beating. And in all that loudness comes the voice of an angel. And your response isn't one of terror. And for comparison's sake, think about the way the shepherds responded in the Christmas story. But it's one of faith. One of faith so sure that even in the most terrifying of times, Abraham had no other response other than, "Here I am." I think Abraham's is a faith that very few of us get to experience during our lifetimes. It's one that is so deep and profound that even in the face of the most heartbreaking of circumstances, there's a steadfast belief in service and love to God. When I went to college, I took with me a small decorative sign. I don't really remember where I got it, if I got it on Amazon or one of those downtown shops, or if somebody gave it to me, but I repeated what it said as a mantra so many times during my college years. It's a quote by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." This image is one that I think is best visualized in film in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In the third installation of the series, the titular character Indiana, played by Harrison Ford at his most awesome, finds himself on a quest for the Holy Grail. For those who are fans of the Indiana Jones series, you'll know that one of Indiana's key traits is his skepticism. As a scientist and a man of knowledge, he struggles to believe what he cannot see. His father, played by one of the best Bonds, Sean Connery, on the other hand, is a believer. He has devoted his life and his work to finding the Grail. I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't seen the movie, but as part of this quest, Indiana has to go through three trials to get to the Grail. One of these trials is a leap of faith, and I think we're going to try to watch the video. That's probably one of my favorite scenes from the Indiana Jones movies because it reminds me so much of the Martin Luther King Jr. quote, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." You can see in that clip the fear cross Indiana's face as he clutches his chest and he closes his eyes, takes a deep breath, and then puts one foot out and lets his body fall forward. Faith is taking a leap. It's trusting that there will be a step in front of you to catch your fall without knowing that the step is there. When I think about faith in those terms, it's hard. I'm a planner. I like routines. I like knowing where I'm going and what I'm doing. I thrive on knowledge. So the idea of a blind trust that accompanies faith can be difficult for me. Because of this, I think in part my personal saving grace is not necessarily my faith in God, but God's faith in me. In the Bible, God's faith in humanity is represented by something called a covenant. I did some research, thank you Wikipedia, regarding what a covenant would have meant in the ancient Middle East. There are a couple of key qualities that are fairly significant. One, a covenant binds two parties together personally. Two, covenants don't have an expiration date. And three, covenants, in general, are unconditional. Now, covenants can be found throughout the Bible, but probably the most famous that we all know is God's covenant with Noah: "I will never flood the earth again." The psalm we read today refers to God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Imagine that just for a moment. An all-powerful, all-knowing being who loves you, and maybe even more than loves you, believes in you, no matter what. No questions asked, no conditions necessary. That's some pretty powerful stuff. Now imagine that you had the capacity to return those feelings, steadfast love and faithfulness. I'm not here to say that asking questions is bad. On the contrary, I personally believe that when you ask questions about your faith, it makes your faith stronger. But what I described, the kind of no questions asked faith that God gives to us, is what Abraham gave to God. It's a leap of faith. So what does taking a leap of faith in today's world mean? That kind of careless, blind trust that everything's going to turn out all right. Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew that it means welcoming. Listen again to what he says. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Jesus doesn't say, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." And by you, I mean not that homeless person, not the sick person over there, not the person who has a different religion, not the person who has a different skin color, not the person who is gay or gender fluid. There is no subtext. It's just a simple direction of welcome. I couldn't find the Aramaic for welcome, but in Hebrew, it's Baruch Haba. The literal meaning of Baruch Haba is "blessed is he." If we think about welcoming in this way, it's not enough to just open the door. There needs to be blessing involved. We as Christians need to open not just our doors, but our hearts, our minds, and souls, trusting in God because God trusts in us. It's not always going to be easy because faith isn't easy. It's closing your eyes and taking a step down a dark staircase. It's hoping for the best. It can be painful. You can have questions. But at the end of the day, you gotta have faith. Amen.